Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is 9:40 on a Tuesday, and you hear Christopher Cross, and you know what it is. It's time to talk to our friends at SalesportTalk.com, and to co-host this segment with me from SalesportTalk.com is Karen Lyle. Karen, how you doing?
I'm doing just great. Glad to be back in San Francisco. I was in London, as you know, while you talked to Patty, and I am actually would love to be in Paris at this moment.
So would I, and we're waiting on a call from Sally Barco, who is head of operations for U.S. Olympic Sailing, and when she calls, we will definitely throw her on the air. Until that time, tell us a little bit about your London experience, please.
Well, I was having a little R&R, so I went to some plays on the West End, and just really didn't have too much planned, and it was just nice to have a little time off.
How was the In-N-Out Club?
Oh, great. It's my home away from home. You know, actually, I stayed at a couple of other clubs while I was there because they were full on a couple nights. The Union Jack and also the East India Club. So it was fun to be able to see the different clubs. And, you know, Clubland in London is something that goes back to the 1700s. It's certainly a dominant feature in the city of London.
The East India Company is one of the most fascinating stories of all time. Their first meeting was actually back in 1599, if you can believe it. And you just think about the conquest of India with Clive. We'll get into that another time because we do have our guests with us. Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle with you on Sports Byline and American Forces Radio Network. It's Sally Barco of Team USA joining us from Paris. She is head of operations for U.S. Olympic Sailing. Sally, tell us a little bit about this time you're going through right now and all the different disciplines. This must be mayhem, yet pure joy as well, right?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's beautiful here. We're in the south of France, and we had a really great breeze today. Four disciplines out there racing, and the other six are up next in the next coming days, but they've been hard at either measurement or training and preparing for the racing to come.
You know, you have, let me see, we have all together some of the outstanding performances just starting out is our women's skiff team and also the men's skiff team. Can you tell us a little bit about how they're doing in the races right now?
Yeah, for sure. Our men's skiff just ended on the high note. I think they were third or fourth the last race today. Moved them up into some solid sixth overall, which is a great position leading up to tomorrow. They'll have three more races in this opening series, and then they head on to the medal race, which is double scoring points. So they're right in that medal hunt. And then the women's skiff, they were really, really fast on the water today. It was trickier earlier this morning. The breeze had been quite stilled, so they left some points on the table, but they're fired up and ready to put it all out there tomorrow, that's for sure.
So tell us about where you are in the south of France and the venue, more or less. And oh, did we lose her? Sally? Karen?
Ah.
We have Karen. I think we just lost Sally right there.
It's good. Well, you know, the women's skiff team has Steph Robel and Maggie Shea, and we've talked to Maggie Shea before here on the show. And the men's skiff team has Ian Barrows and Hans Henken, and there's also a women's windsurfer, a men's windsurfer, a women's dinghy, a mixed monohull, a women's kite, and a men's kite. And so all of those events are what our Olympic team are basically handling during this particular show. And one of the reasons why we don't have any of the competitors is because they're actually racing and preparing for the race, and we didn't want to interfere with what they were doing, hoping that that our guest can come back and talk to us a little bit. Sally Barco is the head of operations, and she is the deputy team leader on the ground in Paris today. And so, you know, we talked to, in setting up this interview, we talked to Rick Jepson, who we've also talked to here on the show as the board president for the U.S. Sailing, and also, you know, other key people in U.S. Sailing, because really exciting times for them right now.
All right, we got her back. We have Sally Barco with us from Marseille. Answer me this, if you could, Sally. I know we have a mixed dinghy, and I understand like mixed doubles in tennis, but why do you think we have a class of dinghy with one man and one woman? Like, when did that all start up?
It's actually new for this quad, but we had the mixed multi-hull for Tokyo, and it's all in an effort to be basically the same amount of men and women for the medals and for all the athletes in sailing. So it's turning out really well. It's a nice atmosphere. It's a different type of teamwork having a male and female together. But the boats that they're in are they're pretty specific. The 470 is a dinghy, so more of a displacement boat, and then the Nacra is a foiling catamaran.
Well, and on, don't you have some new foiling boats that are just brand new in the races this year? Tell us about that.
We do. We have the IQ foil, which the racing is going on this. It's in the first section of the Olympics. So we have Noah Lyons and the men's IQ foil. And that's like your typical windsurfer, but on a foil. And he's doing really well. He had won his first race today. And he's in fourth overall. So he's got some great speed. And then we have Dominique Stader in the IQ women, and one of her first, she's new, a little bit newer to the class and first time Olympian, but she's getting really good experience out here. And then we have the fastest sport in the Olympics, which is the kiting. So we have men's and women's kiteboarding that will start later in the week. I believe it's August 3rd is the first racing, and that's, yeah, it's awesome. It's a foil kiteboarding, so for anybody who's been kiting normally, you're up on the foil, and they're ripping along at like 30 knots.
Could you talk about Daniela Moroz? Because at 23, she's sort of like the Tiger Woods of sailing. She's already like a three-time Rolex Yachtswoman of the Year. Why is she so good, so young?
Yeah, Daniela comes to this sport with just an extreme amount of talent and experience, actually. She was kiting from a really young age with her parents off the beach, really learning all the technique. And then the discipline became Olympic, and she was in a prime spot. She had already won, I think, four or five world titles and was in a really great spot to pick up the Olympic discipline and you know, represent Team USA. So she's definitely one of our favorites and just enjoying being here. She had a great time at the opening ceremonies and soaking it all up. She was out on the water today, getting her training laps in, and yeah, really looking forward to having her on the water racing.
And there's also a strategy that the U.S. Sailing Olympic team has for how they're approaching the Olympics this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that strategic plan?
Yeah, we're really going into this with kind of the mentality of one step at a time, and we've been preparing for the last few months here. We've had a team base in Marseille, so the athletes have had that familiarity of living in Europe, staying on the same time zone, getting used to all the conditions and weather conditions and how their equipment reacts to it here. And then basically, as the Olympics has started, we've just replicated that training site here on the Olympic site. And yeah, it's been really nice. It's being able to provide that support to the athletes has been a really powerful thing. That consistency in sailing is a big part of how we need to prepare. And just putting an athlete into an unfamiliar environment is really hard for them to perform in sailing, because there's so many different aspects to our sport. It's the boat, it's the wind, it's the conditions, it's the sails, but there's also the physical and mental side of it as any athlete goes through. So they deal with a lot of conditions every day, and what we try to do is surround them with as much consistency as we can, so that when they hit the water, they're really ready to make any split-second decision they need to.
Obviously, you can't have your sport in Paris. You can't do everything on the Seine. You're down there on the Mediterranean. You're not as far removed as the surfers in Tahiti, obviously, but we know that Marseille is not near Paris. So what's the flavor of having the Olympics whilst being so far away from all the main stuff?
Yeah, it's a shame. It's sort of it happens to us as a sport of sailing more often than not. But the athletes got to go up. They've already been up to Paris to the main village twice, one for the team processing, and then again for the opening ceremony. So they've had a nice flavor of it, and those that finish here early will go up and maybe see some other sports. We have soccer here in town, which is also kind of fun. The stadium's just up the road from where we're sailing. I think they're there through the semis. So it's nice. I think sailing needs, yeah, it needs the water, and it needs a certain amount of space to host all the equipment. So, yeah, we're remote, but actually the vibe is really nice. A ton of spectators can come down right from the beach. We get really close to the sailors. There's a big breakwater. It's been full every single day, jam-packed with supporters and spectators, and the sailors come by. Every time they go in and out of the harbor to get to their race course, they do a flyby and a lot of cheering and excitement going on for the sport.
What is a typical day like? And I realize there's nothing typical about an Olympic game in these situations, but how are you handling the day around the races? What happens before, like from the morning to the evening?
Yeah, I mean, it's normal athlete preparation, so it's really hot in here in Marseille. We had a pretty big heat wave, and we've been preparing for that for a while. So we have all sorts of cooling devices, cooling vests, air-conditioned containers, ice baths, proper ways to keep athletes hydrated. So it's a lot of pre-hydration, pre-cooling. And then our sport can be pretty labor-intensive on the water, so they can be out there for, you know, 3 to 6 hours sometimes, depending on the wind. So we also need to take measures to keep them hydrated and on par on the water. So pretty much all of our preparation as a support team is around that. We have our team nutritionist here. We have two physios who have done an amazing job at keeping everybody on track. We have our sports psych. You know, sailing is a very, our event is quite long, so it's performance, mental performance is a big part of it. And we have basically a logistical support team to make sure that all the equipment and containers and coach boats and everything needed to support the athletes to make their jobs easy is in place. So it's a pretty big team around the team racing, but it's all just really focusing on getting those athletes on the water in the best condition we can.
Sally Barco, head of operations for U.S. Olympic Sailing, going on as we speak in Marseille, joining us live from the Côte d'Azur. Sally, thanks for coming on, and go USA.
Thanks so much, you guys. Appreciate it.
You great team.
This show was brought to you by Grays Harbor Historical Seaport, the port of Seattle in the state of Washington.
And flying to Seattle Airport on your next trip, visiting the port of Seattle and her historic seaports is a great destination. I can vouch for it. Been there many times.
All right. Karen Lyle, SailSportTalk.com. Go to the website to find out more. Thanks for your time once again.
Good to talk to you, Rick. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.
We have the power to lift us up with song.